Award-winning journalists, New York Times bestsellers, no topic out of bounds, no opinions left unsaid, an institution for sports talk and information. This is The Sports Reporters. Here's Mike Lupica and Mitch Albom.
I'm Mitch Albom of the Detroit Free Press.
I am Mike Lupica of the New York Daily News and MLB.com, and my new novel for young readers, Strike Zone, is on sale right now. Welcome to the Thursday edition of the Sports Reporters podcast. Ryan will be back on Monday, but we put the band back together from the long-running TV show on ESPN to do two podcasts a week, which is really fun because we get to react to NFL games and we get to set up college football games the way we used to. And Mitch, we got a game in September, and you know, we always talk about this, and it's not a knockout game because it's still early enough in the season. But Notre Dame at Georgia would be one of the games of the year in September, October, November, or December. And before we look at it from the Notre Dame point of view, let's look at it from the Georgia point of view, because they, Nick, Mitch, they have been knocking on the door for the past 3 years. They have been knocking on the door. And when we talk about all the great young quarterbacks in college football, Jake Fromm, who's great, gets lost in the shuffle sometimes.
Yeah. Well, Georgia's like George Harrison. You know, if it wasn't for John and Paul, everybody would be talking about him. But, you know, you happen to have Alabama and Clemson, and Georgia's just on the outside. But in many cases, every bit as good as those two teams. And, you know, they were a stone's throw away from beating Alabama if Tua didn't put on a miracle in that national championship. And by the way, that was the year, if you remember, that they played a very close game against Notre Dame. I think it was 20-19. And it was early in the season, and there was earlier in the season, and there were a lot of other games going on at the time, and people didn't make the big fuss of it that they probably should have, except there were a lot of other big games that happened to be played that night. As it turned out, you remember, Mike, that loss for Notre Dame ended up becoming a debate point as to whether they belonged in it or not. And they hung around the top four for a while until they fell off at the end. And it ended up becoming a debate point for Georgia, too. This year will be the same. You know, how strong is if Georgia wins big, then the question becomes, how far does Notre Dame fall, and how significant a victory is it really for Georgia to beat Notre Dame, especially if they lose a few more times? On the other hand, Notre Dame upsets Georgia, and now, you know, you've got this whole thing that we have year after year. Where does Notre Dame belong? Because, you know, you can't measure them against SEC teams. You're absolutely right, Mike, that Georgia has been, you know, everyone knows they're great, but people don't know that much about them. You know, Kirby Smart's done a fantastic job down there. And, you know, last 2 years, 11-3 and 13-2, he's really turned that program around since he got in there. And you could argue that, you know, that they belong right in the same conversation with Alabama and Clemson. And if so, Michael, they're going to kill Notre Dame.
Well,
if they're
that's
that
the
good,
thing.
They're going to kill them.
Okay, Mitch, it is the big game of the weekend. We're going to talk about Michigan, Wisconsin in a second, but this is clearly the big marquee game of the weekend. Georgia's a big favorite in this game. I mean, I've seen it.
14 points.
The two touchdown favorite in this game. And one of the things that everybody is talking about, they're actually not talking about Jake Fromm. They're talking about the way Georgia can run the ball and how bad Notre Dame is so far.
Right.
Even against the schedule they have played so far at defending against the run. I saw this stat the other day. Right now, Notre Dame ranks 120th in the nation out of 130 in defending the run. It could be a problem in Sanford Stadium, but even with the point spread, Mitch, they're calling this one of the biggest games they've ever had down there. And as well as Georgia can run the ball, okay, as long as they can run the ball, you know, Fromm is going to want to, you know, put himself front and center into this narrative on Saturday and kind of raise a hand, Mitch, and say, hey, I'm still here. I'm really good. Remember when I was the hot young freshman in college football?
Yeah. It seems like you can't get talked about the same way if you're a junior anymore. You know, it's like, the shine's off the polish. You know, we're much more interested in Trevor Lawrence than we are in Jake Fromm. Jake Fromm's a pretty damn good quarterback. Louisville in Mexico were two opponents against Notre Dame
right.
that together don't qualify for the SEC, and yet both of them rushed for more than 200 yards and touchdowns against the Fighting Irish. Now they go down and take on Georgia, who can plow through anybody like a tank. And on the flip side, and I was stunned when I read this. Do you know that Book, their quarterback, leads the team in carries, yards, and touchdowns? He's their best rusher, which means they're not rushing the football a whole lot against Georgia, which means not a
and
lot
if we
of third
know
down
that,
conversions.
Mitch, if we know that, Kirby Smart knows that, too.
Last two opponents for Georgia, here's their totals, 66 yards on 55 carries. That's the combination.
Right.
I think that's an average of 1.1 yards per carry. So, again, it just – now – having said all this, you always, in the third week of the college football season, and especially the fourth week of the college football season, when all of a sudden teams start playing real teams and not the padding in the mattress that they use build up their schedule, things always look a lot different. And I think Notre Dame has to know they're going in there as this ridiculous underdog. And, they Notre Dame always has talent, always. They can be three deep at positions. That's how good they are at recruiting. That's how many people want to go to Notre Dame and play for a school that has its own network. So I never write off Notre Dame, and I never say they can't pull off any kind of an upset. I just say on paper, going in this early in the season, things do not look really good for them, and they're not a great road team historically in the last couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, Notre Dame historically has been good at, shaking down the Thunder. It's going to be hard to shake down the Thunder on Saturday night. And I had forgotten this, Mitch, until I started reading up on this game. Jake Fromm's first start at Georgia was against Notre Dame at Notre Dame, and they went in and won the game. And he didn't have the greatest game of his life, but you look at this kid's resume, and Mitch, he really is getting lost in the shuffle. He's won an SEC championship, a Rose Bowl. He, they could make a case that they belonged in the playoffs last year. And I have a feeling it's not going to be a coming out party because he's been around now for two seasons. But I have a feeling that even though I do believe that running is going to determine this game, if Georgia, makes it the beatdown that the odds makers think is going to be, I expect big things from Fromm on Saturday night.
Well, I mean, that's the one area that Notre Dame is good at. They got a good ball, passing defense. So, if Kirby Smart lives up to his last name, he's not going to just say, yeah, go ahead and try to throw for 300 yards. They don't need to. And as good as Fromm is, you play against the defense you're playing against. And if they can pick up 3-4 yards a carry every time they hand off the ball, they ought to just continue to handing off
the ball. And by the way, you were talking about Book, okay? And when he throws the ball, Georgia already has a dozen sacks so far this season. So they're going to be coming for Mr. Book. And listen, we both know that unless it's, a 3-touchdown victory, say, for Georgia, even Notre Dame can survive a loss on Saturday night. But if another SEC team smacks them around, it's going to be very difficult for them when it comes tournament time for them to convince everybody again that they belong in a big game in the tournament against a top SEC team.
Well, somehow they seem to work their way into the conversation, but this year especially, when Alabama and Clemson just seem so head and shoulders above everybody else, you can basically write them in unless something dramatic happens to one of their star players. You write them in for the playoff. And with Jalen Hurts in Oklahoma and with LSU playing the way it is, and Ohio State or Michigan or somebody's going to be in there, Notre Dame kind of needs to win this game. Have a show, because they don't, they're not playing all those other teams the rest of the way. So they kind of need to be this to be hanging around at the number four spot. It's always that way, Michael. That's the weirdness of the whole college football ranking system. Number three, Georgia, plays number seven, Notre Dame. Number three, Georgia wins. And if they win big, maybe they move up to number two. You know, depending on what low level team Alabama or Clemson is playing, and maybe Notre Dame only falls to 10 because they say, well, you know, you're playing one of the great teams in the country, and so they allow them to hang around. But I still think this year climbing into the top four spots is going to be harder for Notre Dame than it's been in the past. So they need to somehow win this, and that's a really tall order. That's a tough place to win, and that's a really well coached team. If they make a lot of mistakes, and they have, remember last year, you know, everybody thought Georgia was all that, and then, you know, they lost to LSU, and then they lost in their bowl game.
Yep.
And they screwed up. You know, they were just turning the ball over, I don't know, 3-4 times a game. So if they do that, they drop the ball, they intercept, they make stupid passes, they fumble, okay, Notre Dame becomes an opportunistic thing, and then they can win it. But straight up, a well-played game, you know, relatively mistake-free football. I don't see how Notre Dame wins this game.
I'm fired up for this game, though. And the other game of the weekend will be Paul Chris, Wisconsin team. And by the way, step forward if you're not a Wisconsin fan and you know that Paul Chris has been running a terrific program there since he took over. And Michigan, which, you know, as Mitch knows, they're coached by the guy I think of as the other Harbaugh. And let's start here. Before we get to the quarterback of Michigan, okay, can Michigan shut down Jonathan Taylor when Wisconsin wants to run the ball on Saturday?
Yes. That's the one part of their team that they're in pretty good shape. They have a very good run defense. And the defense has been the solid part since Harbaugh has gotten there. You know, he's got an incredible defensive coordinator who keeps that thing humming, and that's what keeps them in a lot of games. Ironically, Harbaugh, a quarterback in his playing days, has had bigger trouble with offense since he's been in Michigan, and that's going to continue. Now, what's really weird about Michigan is that they're not great at running the ball. And I mean, Bo Schembechler, you know, is rolling over to hear that sentence because that's how he built the program. And in point of fact, Jim Harbaugh likes to run the ball. A lot of people think that, you know, because he was a quarterback, well, Harbaugh's, you know, definitely going to, you know, be a pass-first guy. He isn't. He's a run-first guy. But they don't have the horses right now to do it. You know, they just don't have they got this young kid, Charbonnet, who's maybe, I mean, so far he's been great, but he's played a handful of college football. He's a freshman. And I mean, he used to be at Michigan. There was a factory of running backs. And, you know, you just waited your turn. But you know, you weren't a freshman taking over as running back. So if they don't run the ball well against Wisconsin, that puts the pressure on Shea Patterson to throw the ball. Wisconsin is a really good team. And in a minute, I'm going to pull this stuff up. I'm going to tell you what they lead the nation in. But it's an awful lot of categories for this early in the season.
He's a good coach. I mean, they're really good. They're just, you know, they exist in the shadow of Michigan and Ohio State. And Mitch, you know, we just were talking about a statement game for Notre Dame in particular on Saturday night. To me, this is a huge statement game for Wisconsin. And before we get to the stats, I just want to ask you a question. If this turns into another offensive slog on Saturday, do you think Harbaugh will go to Dylan McCaffrey?
No. He's invested a lot in Shea Patterson. He's a senior plus, you know, he's got the extra year. And he likes to have, you know, a field general out there. And if he does that early, that's going to mess with Patterson's confidence. You know, he transferred to play there, and I don't think he bails out on him. McCaffrey's been playing a little bit, and he'll probably play again.
I wonder if he would say, okay, I need this game. Because I can't.
Oh, would he go in this game?
Yeah,
sure.
That's what I.
Sure. I thought you meant like, okay, I'm benching my guy.
No.
Yeah, absolutely. He'll do whatever he needs to win this game.
He's got to win this game.
If he loses this early and starts falling behind in the Big Ten race, that Ohio State game looms so ridiculously large at this point. I mean, we all know now his legacy at the moment. Their whole season is going to be that last Saturday you know, the one right after Thanksgiving, where they're going to play Ohio State at Michigan this year. This is the toughest. You could make an argument that this could be their toughest game of the year because it's on the road. They get Michigan State at home. They get Ohio State at home. These are the traditionally toughest games for them. Now, mind you, Michael, they beat down Wisconsin pretty well last year.
Yes, they did.
So
yes,
it's
they did.
Not, you know, that was kind of what catapulted everyone saying, okay, wow, they got a team this year, until, of course, Ohio State proved they didn't. So it's not like they don't have some history, and it's not like Wisconsin doesn't have some motivation to, you know, take it out on them, because clearly they're not happy about that. Now, I told you I was going to tell you what they
yes,
they
I want those stats. Give me those
in.
Stats. Okay. Give me those analytics.
Okay.
Give me
all right. Here we go. Okay. They lead the nation in fewest penalties, time of possession, total defense, fewest first downs allowed, third down conversions, and third down defense. Those are all things that
I guess you think
games.
Those are important, don't you?
Yeah,
you treat
I think
those like
important.
You think those are important.
Yeah.
Oh my
I
God.
Mean, you know, forget about stats mean like numbers mean nothing at this time of year in terms of like how many yards you have, because right. the games are 72 to nothing. So I don't care how many rushing yards a team has. I don't care how many passing yards. But when you tell me that you lead the country in third down conversions, in third down defense, meaning stopping the other team from doing it, you commit the fewest penalties, time of possession, which means you hold on to the ball, which is tied to the third down conversions, total defense, and fewest first downs allowed. That's a shutdown type of team. And Michigan has made more mistakes in the first two games than they usually make in the first 10. They have fumbled, thrown interceptions, fumbled again. They're not as bad as their 2-0 record suggests, and I know that sounds weird, but I mean, they've been 2-0, and they almost lost to Army on a field goal kick. But if not for all these drives that ended in fumbles, some of them down near the opponent's goal line, people will be talking about them as a better team. Now, if they make those mistakes against Wisconsin, they're going to lose by 20 points.
Wisconsin hasn't given up any points. You think that's a good stat? No, I mean, because I think it is.
yeah, generally you like that if you're
they don't
a coach.
Give up points. And
they haven't
so
played
yeah,
anybody.
No, the stakes for them are just so big. I mean, it's such a big game for both teams. I mean, and it believe me, it's not going to get lost in the shadow of Georgia Notre Dame. This has huge implications in their conference, for especially for Coach Harbaugh. Mitch, what will it sound like from Detroit to Ann Arbor and back? Okay. If Harbaugh loses to Wisconsin and Ohio State in the same season.
Oh, well, I think they're going to seriously rethink what they did, Michigan. Now, you know, they're into him for a lot of money and a lot of years, but that hasn't stopped college football programs before. I think Jim is well aware of the fact that he's on the spot. He can't point to... these aren't my players. You know, that's often what
no, that's
guys
over.
Say. Well,
that
I inherited these guys.
Yeah,
that's over with. He's you know, these are his guys. These are the guys he recruited. This is his quarterback that, you know, he chose. Okay, he was a transfer. That's true. Oklahoma's playing with a transfer. Ohio State is playing with a transfer. But the guys who transferred to Oklahoma and Ohio State were a little better than Shea Patterson transferring to Michigan, who had a fight for the job. You know, Jalen Hurts is a different category of quarterback. And Fields the same way. So this is huge pressure for him. I mean, I think, Michael, he basically has to go into that Ohio State game undefeated for his reputation to match up to what the expectations are. If there's one game that he could lose and then
this
wins
one.
All
it's
the rest
one.
Of them, it would be this one. Because if Wisconsin goes on to prove that they might be as good as they're looking, okay, you got one Big Ten loss. But still, if he wins Ohio State, nobody's going to care. Even if they don't end up winning the conference, nobody's going to care. But if he loses this one and to Ohio State, and here's Paul Chryst's record since he took over. 10-3 in his first year, yep. 11-3 in his second year,
yep.
13-1
yep.
in his third year, 8-5 last year. Those first 3 years compare extremely favorably to Jim Harbaugh's record at Michigan. which has been close to the same, except he never had a 13-1 season. So, you know, they're well matched. And there's every reason to expect that Wisconsin can win. I don't know, Michael, living here in Michigan and watching, you know, everything I can about the team and all the news and all the rest of it, I don't know what kind of team they're going to field on Saturday. They looked really off the first 2 weeks, and then they had a bye week. It's like, okay, it's almost like they called a timeout in the season and said, we need to get cleaned up. We're making penalties. We're dropping the ball. We're fumbling. So I don't know if they can clean it up. I mean, you generally get better by playing. You don't tend to get better by having 2 weeks off 2 weeks into the season. So I am totally, I wouldn't be surprised at any kind of outcome at this. And I think most Michigan watchers are the same way. It's just a mystery.
Okay. Before we look ahead to some fascinating games in the NFL, and I'll remind you at this point that we are sponsored by Geico, our friends at Geico, as always.
Everybody's got a to-do list. Drop off the dry cleaning, pick up some milk. Here's an idea. Let's save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. And the good thing is you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. All you have to do is go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. You got extra money in your pocket? It just may be the most rewarding to-do that you do today.
I will ask you, Mr. Album, the key question about this game, because Mitch always asks this. Where is the game being played? Well, we know where the game is being played. It's being played in Madison. And Mitch, could in the end, if they're close, could that be the determining factor?
Well, yeah. I mean, Michigan hasn't played on the road. So, you know, that's always a thing for your young players to go out there the first time, especially as college football players. Absolutely, it makes a difference. It's the reason that they're probably favorite. Otherwise, they're kind of an even pick.
It looks like an even game other than that. Yeah, all right, let's go to a game we touched on briefly the other day. And we can go a little deeper into it today. I mean, of all the games this weekend, Baltimore-Kansas City, to
me. We're talking about Sunday games now, right?
Sunday games, yeah.
Okay, Sunday games.
Because the Thursday, what, Jacksonville-Tennessee on Thursday night.
No,
make me talk about that. Okay, you can't make me. We're friends for a long time. You can't make me.
I won't even try.
Threaten me with our friendship to talk about that.
Because I'm your friend, I won't try.
And you know what? You can't even make me talk about Jalen Ramsey today, even though my favorite, well, I will say this, okay? My favorite thing, Adam Schefter was talking about this. Okay? The teams have inquired whether if Ramsey plays tonight and then they trade for him, can he play two games in the same week? So even, Mitch, even if you're a malcontent, even if you're on the Antonio Brown All-Star team, okay? Guys actually want to know if you can play twice in the same week.
Yeah. Has that ever happened?
I don't think so.
I can't imagine it has. No. Oh, well, that would be interesting. Not that I would watch it, but that would be interesting because I'm not. Okay. I'm boycotting Jalen Ramsey.
Mr. Lamar Jackson, and Mitch knows this as well as anybody, I have been a Lamar Jackson fanboy. I thought Baltimore got one of the steals of that draft when they were able to take him as late as they did in the first round. And nothing he has done this year has surprised me terribly. I know he had a bad playoff game. I get all that, okay? But him against Mahomes, talk about, you know, Georgia, Notre Dame, and Michigan, Wisconsin. Those are appointment games this weekend. So, Mitch, so is this one.
Yeah, this is a great opportunity to see where Jackson is in his career. Measuring up against the guy that everybody is talking about. I don't, you know, Baltimore is not as complete a team as Kansas City, and the game is in Kansas City, correct?
But they have the good Harbaugh coach in the Ravens. You know what I'm saying? They have the star Harbaugh.
Yeah. but I, you know, Lamar Jackson is a wild card still. He is still developing. He is, you know, he's adding, he's one of those rare cases where you look at the numbers on Sunday and you think you're looking at a Saturday number. You know, you're looking at a quarterback who puts up, you know, several hundred yards in passing and 100 yards in rushing. It just doesn't happen in the NFL. Quarterbacks can't run like that in the NFL. Their coaches don't want them to. The other players in the secondary are just as fast as they are, unlike in college. And you know, they take a few hits and they say, this isn't such a good idea. Lamar Jackson is still is still, you know, out there running. And by the way, he leads the NFL with a 145 passer rating, actually ahead of Mahomes.
Nearly
now,
600
you know, I know we're early in the season.
Nearly 600 passing yards already. Passing yards with the way this kid can run the ball.
Yeah. I like it. I can't wait to see it.
Mitch, remember, can you remember in the Wayback Machine where people were actually wondering if maybe they should make him a wide receiver when he got to the pros?
You know?
Maybe make him one of those all-purpose slot guys, wide receivers. Well, he's shown him, and you know, we touched on this the other day, Mitch. He's throwing the ball better. You know, there were some questions about his, and they were fair questions, about his mechanics, okay, and his motion. But, man, I have watched him drop the ball in on those deep sideline passes this year. And in the words of David Letterman, he looks like a million damn dollars. And, you know, it's going to be, you're right, this is such a great test for him on Sunday. And you know, a game that on the road, Arrowhead is as tough a would you agree, that, by the way, that's as tough a place to play as there is in the sport,
highly
right?
Highly underrated. Yeah, people don't, you know, everyone thinks Lambeau or Tech or Dallas or, you know, some stadiums like that. But, no, it's Arrowhead is a very, very tough place to go in and win. And, you know, young teams have had trouble there. But this is one of those opportunities. And I think Baltimore's playing with a little bit of house money, you know, like they're kind of under the radar, certainly compared to Kansas City. And, you know, everybody has already anointed Mahomes. He's already in the commercials with Aaron Rodgers, you know. So that's obviously, you know, you've made it to the mountaintop.
They're great commercials, by the way. I love those commercials.
But they got kind of nothing to lose, and I have, I think, an upset mentality there. Marquise Brown is a good wide receiver. He and Mark Andrews, the tight end, get most of the passes from Lamar Jackson. But I think that whole running thing, you know, Kansas City has been not great against the run early in the season. You know, that's more from running backs than quarterbacks. But, you know, and it's a problem. And if Jackson, you know, can run against them the way that he's run against some other teams, that gives him like a third element of offense. So, Do I still pick Kansas City? Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think that this could be a close game or an upset? Absolutely. I'm watching it very carefully.
It's a great way to kick off, one of the great lines in sports is Sundays at 1. Well, Sundays at 1, that's the game to watch. Now, all right, let me throw this at you. There's some teams that are going to go to 3-0. Like the Cowboys are playing the Dolphinos, okay?
Should actually be 2.5-0. That should be counted.
Against whom? I was talking to a Dolphins fan last night, and I said, you know, it's 102-10 against your team so far. He said, I don't want to talk about it. All right. Packers at home against the Broncos. I think that's a good bet for them to get to 3-0.
Even though Denver's 0-2, surprisingly, you know, I thought they...
And Flacco's played pretty well, Mitch. I mean, he's thrown the ball around. Now, the Bills can go to 3-0 at home against the Bengals, all right? But the one I think is kind of interesting because it involves a truly desperate team, wounded team, and now we're going to get a little better sense of how good the 49ers are. Steelers at 49ers. I don't think anybody thought that, or 49ers, even with not the hardest schedule in the world, we're going to start 3-0. But Garoppolo looks good. He's learning how to slide and get the hell out of bounds. And, you know, we're going to get a sense of if a desperate Steelers team with a backup quarterback can go win a road game like that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how Pittsburgh is going to react to, you know, now absorbing the news that Roethlisberger is out for the rest of the season. It's one thing when it happens, and we've witnessed this in NFL football. When it happens in the middle of the game, you're scrambling, your guy goes in, your backup goes in, maybe he plays better than you ever thought he would, and maybe you have a chance. And Pittsburgh was still in that game, obviously, against Seattle, even though Ben Roethlisberger was out. Now they've had a week to realize, holy crap, we don't have Roethlisberger the whole rest of the year. We have Mason Rudolph for the rest of the year. And I think they could go in there and just fall apart. I've always said NFL guys are smart. And one of the things that they're smart about is when they have a chance and when they don't. Trust me, I have watched that in Detroit year after year after year.
No.
When, you know, you go into the locker room and they'll say all the things that they're supposed to say. No one's quitting in here. We're all doing it. But they're smart. They know who's good and they know who's not.
Yep.
And I've watched it with the Lions when it's basically like, we're not going to beat these guys. You know, we'll put in a good effort, but we know we're not going to beat them. And it shows in their play. Will that happen under Mike Tomlin? Because if it does, he could be out at the end of the season too. I don't know that using Roethlisberger, James Conner, or any of the guys that have been traded away is enough of an excuse if Pittsburgh suddenly becomes a 5-11 team to keep Mike Tomlin there.
All right, let me ask you this, because we talked about teams have a chance to get to 3-0. Only one team has a chance, Mitch, to get to 2-0-1. And that is your Detroit Lions.
That's very true, Mike.
On the road against the Eagles. You know what? That's an interesting game because the Eagles are wounded too.
Yeah, it's an interesting game. The Eagles are banged up. They played a tough game on Monday Night Football. But I'm going to have to see more from this Lions team before I start picking them to win on the road against
Carson Wentz. Man, it's interesting, you know, and I saw a story this week that every time Carson Wentz winces, you know, Eagles fans nearly faint with worry.
Because they're used to having Nick Foles as a backup, and now they're like every other team. They have an average backup, and that's it.
And Mitch, let me tell you what, okay? He's at some point, they're going to start worrying about this guy's ability to stay on the field. When he was wincing last Sunday, didn't you immediately think, oh my God, it's ribs, it's this, it's that, and he's going to be out for a while? And what, you know, Josh McCown, who's 600 years old, who retired to go into television, he's now the backup there.
Yeah, I know. They went from having like the ultimate backup to a very shaky ground. I also like the Sunday night game, the Rams against Cleveland.
It's
an interesting game. You know, Cleveland got its swagger back with the win last week. The Rams, I still don't think we've seen the best. I don't think they've found their footing yet. They're 2-0, but they have not looked great in their being 2-0. And, you know, that matchup against the Saints kind of fell apart once Drew Brees went out. That's a cool Sunday night game.
It's in Cleveland. Yeah.
Could be one of those coming out games that we've seen. All right, there's a lot in the NFL. There's a few other things we want to get talking about here. First, a word from our sponsors, Indochino. Have you ever experienced suit envy? You know, you're in a meeting, at an event, around other well-tailored suits, and suddenly your own suit seems less than. Well, feeling less than is no more with Indochino. Indochino is the world's largest made-to-measure menswear brand, making suits, shirts, coats, and more to your exact measurements for a perfect fit. How do I know? I'm into Indochino. I simply choose my fabric, personalize my details like the lapel, the lining, submit my measurements all online, and in 2 weeks, my custom fit suit arrives at my doorstep, and I'm confident each time I put it on, it fits me beautifully. So you go to Indochino.com, or you can get measured and design your suit at the nearest Indochino showroom. I passed one of these the other day. The suits are great. You just go in, measure you up, boom, you're set. And, you know, once you get measured, it's like getting your eyes tested. You don't have to go back again, unless you eat a lot. So, hey, you don't have to be a CEO to get a custom fit. Almost every Indochino creation is under $400. And right now, you can get $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com. All you have to do is enter reporters when you check out. Plus, shipping is free. So, Indochino.com, then put in reporters as your promo code, and you get $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more. That's a pretty darn good price for a suit, especially when it's tailor-made for you. An incredible deal for made-to-measure clothing. You really have no excuse anymore to wear clothing that doesn't fit. Indochino.com, promo code reporters. All right, Michael, a little baseball talk. You've got an interesting point about the Houston Astros.
You know, Mitch, the Astros to me at their best. I think they're the best team. They are one of the three best records in the league, along with the Yankees and the Dodgers. Mitch, when I watch the Astros play baseball with all that young talent, I feel like I used to feel watching the Warriors play when they were winning championships.
Yeah.
I think the Astros are still in a state of shock that the Red Sox came in and rolled them in three straight games in Houston during the American League Championship Series. But Mitch, the Astros have now won 100 games 3 years in a row. That's, you know, they join a list of other teams that have done that. But none of those other teams in the same decade lost 100 games 3 years in a row, which the Astros did. Mitch, I bring them up, you know, then we've got plenty of time to talk about, you know, Cubs, Cardinals next week, all that stuff. All the teams that tank, all the teams that lose, thinking that that's the way to win. The Astros did it. You know, talk about the trust the process in Philadelphia. The Sixers, even though they've gotten good, have never had the success that the Astros are having right now. They did it right. They tore it down. They got draft choices. They nurtured young talent. And now here they are. But Mitch, think about that. Think about that. They were the poster children for tanking. And now they're the poster children for excellence in the same decade in baseball.
How much of that was the talent that they developed, and how much of that was just buying guys from other teams?
Both.
Or trading.
You know, Altuve and Correa and Springer and guys like that. Jeff Luhnow is one of the smartest front office guys in baseball. A.J. Hinch, in so many ways, has become the model for the modern young manager who can handle people, but also is not afraid or intimidated by analytics. No, and it Houston, Mitch, I was there for the playoffs in the World Series. This has become such a great baseball town, and they've got that funky ballpark, a Minute Maid Park, you know, where crazy things can happen because of the configuration of the outfield. Listen, a lot's going to happen in October, but right now, if you look at them, even though they don't have a bullpen as good as the Yankees, with Verlander, Cole, Greinke, and all that young talent in the batting order, they have to be the favorites to win it all. Have to.
Yeah. Before we get to a quick word on basketball, Michael, you've got something to say from our friends at MyBookie.
Yes, I do. And everybody listen up.
Hey, you know, football is back and the action is better than ever. The Patriots look like the class of the NFL, and the Chiefs, they looked high-powered too. Are they destined to meet again in the AFC Championship game? How about the Cowboys, Packers, and Seahawks? Who's going to separate themselves in the NFC? And did you see all those exciting games in college football? Lots of great action going on. And regardless of what you're most excited about for this season, nothing is more thrilling than supporting your favorite team with a little money down at mybookie.ag. And MyBookie is the premier place to bet on college and pro football every weekend. They have every money line, spread, and over-under that you could possibly think of. Hey, if all your friends are picking winners and making money, why aren't you? Don't miss out on the action with mybookie.ag. I wouldn't be telling you guys to bet with them if they weren't the best. So do the smart thing. If you're going to bet this football season, bet with MyBookie. Hey, and did you know you could bet on games after kickoff? If by the second half it looks like your bet is going to lose, you can always just take the other side. And if you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, then you gotta try a parlay. If all your picks come through, you multiply your winnings. And no matter how you bet, the NFL season is the best time of the year. So join now, and MyBookie will double your first deposit. But you gotta use the promo code THEREPORTERS to activate this offer. That's promo code THEREPORTERS. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid.
Okay, I wanted to bring this up before we got out of here with parting shots because we haven't talked about the NBA for a while, which is surprising because for a while there, I thought we were going to talk about the NBA every single week until the NBA started up again.
Yep.
But the FIBA championships, world championships are now over. The final rankings, world rankings came out, and the United States ranked number one in the world, which is kind of weird. Spain, which won the world championship, came in at number two. Now they're talking about the Olympic team and who's going to play and who's not going to play for the Olympic team coming into 2020, next year in Tokyo. My question to you, Mike Lupica, my longtime
yes, sir.
Compatriot
Go
on
ahead.
This.
Go
is
ahead.
For me, I mean, we were on the Sports Reporters when the Dream Team was formed, and that was the biggest discussion of professionals in the NBA, and we were going to prove enough of this. They're professionals beating up on our amateurs. It's not fair.
Right.
And then for a while, we just smoked everybody. We're not smoking everybody anymore. And if you listen to Pops, he gave a big lecture to everybody about how only idiots who don't cover the sport and don't understand the sport would be critical of our seventh place finish at the World Championships because the rest of the world is damn good. Do you buy that?
Do I feel the urgency about this that I did at one time? No, I do not. I was glad to see that Steph Curry has announced that he's going to play. You got to tell me who's actually going to be going to Tokyo before I do all this gloom and doom. But this idea now that we still have to be the kings of the basketball world, I don't feel that. And Mitch, I know there was a lot of young talent on this team, and I know how great Pop is, but tell me you looked at that roster, okay, and thought that they were going to be world beaters. I did not. I just did not.
No, I didn't. And what I think was disappointing is a lot of guys said they were going to play, and then they bailed. And when you do that at the last minute, it's hard to get guys organized. Anthony Davis, James Harden, Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, DeMar DeRozan, other players all said they were going to play, and then they bailed out. And they're left with a squad that, first of all, even the guys that they had, a couple of the Boston Celtics, Tatum, and they were hurt a lot of the things, so they didn't do well. But then I look at, wait a minute, Spain won this thing with Marc Gasol being the most significant NBA player on their roster. They had about four other guys who have played in the NBA or either in the NBA or played in the NBA a little bit. But that, to me, that speaks more about how they organize their teams and how they practice and how dedicated they are. Because I'm sorry, even the group that we sent over there, talent-wise, basketball talent-wise, any one of those guys, if they went to a Spanish national team, or played overseas, they'd be the star of that team. So how is it that when you collect them all together, they can't win?
Because
I don't think it's just about pure talent. It's a team, and they don't want to practice. They don't want to learn the system. They just want to get out there and throw the ball up.
I don't know if that. I think there's some very good team guys, but sometimes it just doesn't work. And look at all the talent on the Houston Rockets. How many championships have they won? Sometimes it is chemistry. I'm a big guy that talent breeds good chemistry in sports. But that's that's. Let's see who goes. And I'll leave you with this one thought about Pop. He's got to relax a little bit, okay?
Yeah, he's not everybody's the enemy. Yeah,
he's got to relax. All right, it's time for our parting shots.
Before we go to parting shots, a little word from our friends once more at Indochino. Have you ever experienced suit envy? You're in a meeting, at an event, around other well-tailored suits, and suddenly your own suit seems less than... Well, feeling less than is no more with Indochino. Indochino is the world's largest made-to-measure menswear brand, making suits, shirts, coats, and more to your exact measurements for a perfect fit. How do I know? I'm into Indochino. I simply choose my fabric, personalize my details like the lapel, the lining, submit my measurements all online, and in 2 weeks, my custom fit suit arrives at my doorstep. And I'm confident each time I put it on, it fits me beautifully. So you go to Indochino.com or you can get measured and design your suit at the nearest Indochino showroom. I passed one of these the other day. The suits are great. You just go in, measure you up, boom, you're set. And once you get measured, it's like getting your eyes tested. You don't have to go back again unless you eat a lot. So hey, you don't have to be a CEO to get a custom fit. Almost every Indochino creation is under $400. And right now you can get $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com. All you have to do is enter reporters when you check out. Plus, shipping is free. So Indochino.com, then put in reporters as your promo code, and you get $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more. That's a pretty darn good price for a suit, especially when it's tailor-made for you. An incredible deal for made-to-measure clothing. You really have no excuse anymore to wear clothing that doesn't fit. Indochino.com, promo code reporters.
Now, parting shots.
The Jets, who might start 0-6 and whose hotshot young quarterback Sam Darnold now has mono, started Trevor Siemian Monday night. Then he ruined an ankle, gone for the season. His backup was Luke Falk out of Washington State. Now to back him up, the Jets signed David Fales, whom the Lions cut in August. Fales is 28. He's thrown 48 passes in his NFL career, one touchdown, one interception. So the Jets called him, but not Colin Kaepernick. No one ever calls Kaepernick when they need a quarterback. And as you can see just from last weekend alone, everybody always needs a quarterback in the NFL. The Colts didn't call Kaepernick to come back up Jacoby Brissett when Andrew Luck up and retired. Now the Jets would rather go with Falk and Fales, which, by the way, sounds like a personal injury law firm. You know, if you've been injured in the workplace, please call Falk and Fales. Against the Patriots on Sunday. And so the blackballing of Colin Kaepernick continues because of his political beliefs, because he became the face of the players kneeling during the national anthem. And every time somebody like Fales gets a call and a shot, somebody needs to ask Roger Goodell if he thinks Fales will ever have the kind of career that Kaepernick has had in Goodell's league already.
Long after the damage was done, long after the money changed hands, long after the stripper parties and the accusations, and long after the kids involved went on to other things, Rick Pitino has settled with Louisville. This made news in sports, and particularly in the state of Kentucky, where Pitino dropped his lawsuit and Louisville dropped its counter lawsuit in exchange for an agreement in which Louisville didn't have to pay any money to Pitino, and Pitino got to say he resigned. This was a big, colossal waste of legal time, all about saving face, as if Pitino really saves face by formally referring to his departure as a resignation and not a firing. Apparently, that word was worth about $35 million to Pitino, because that's how much he was suing Louisville for. None of this changes the fact that he was the head coach when strippers were hired to entice recruits, when allegedly $100,000 changed hands for a player to sign with the Cardinals, and on and on and on. Head coaches, when caught in these scandals, love to say they didn't know what was going on. They always know what's going on. They put the assistant coaches in place. They allow or don't allow the booster types around the gyms. They know what's going on. And Pitino, I believe, knew what was going on, just as he knows what's going on now. But Pitino, who privately is a very nice guy, is also a master of chameleon-like changes. After all, he coached both Kentucky and Louisville, which is like coaching the Hatfields and the McCoys. He won two national titles, been to a barrel full of Final Fours. So will he find another place to coach? I imagine he will. But if he thinks he took an eraser to the chalkboard with this settlement, he needs to go back to class. That's going to wrap things up for today's Sports Reporters Podcast. We do this every Monday and Thursday. We'll see you again on Monday to wrap up the big weekend. You can catch this podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, Apple, Pandora, you name it, any popular place. Leave us a comment if you enjoyed or didn't enjoy what you heard. We always enjoy that. Bob Ryan will return to the fold on Monday. Until we see you then, on behalf of Mike Lupica, this is Mitch Albom saying, have a great weekend.